I just want to say a special thank you to our youth who are leading us this morning. It's such a blessing, and it brings back so many memories of my youth group years here in this church, seeing what God was doing and the influence that our youth advisors had in my life. And I've just been, through Shauna, through others in the community, I've been hearing stories about the work that God is doing here at Bethel. And I just praise God for that. And I'm so excited to be back here amongst you. It's always a special thing for me to come to my home congregation where I grew up, the congregation where I was baptized. And I remember the different ways that people in this congregation had such a tremendous impact on my life, of calling me to a life of faith, of following Jesus. I remember when I was baptized at 13 years of age, and Chester Hilty came up and read a passage to me from 1 Timothy. It always stayed with me. He gave me a charge, and at that moment, I just really felt God speaking to me and saying, this is for you. I remember older people in the congregation like Ruth Ashbacher, who's no longer with us, but just checking in, challenging me and calling me. I remember Phil and Brenda, Kim and Rowena Corsi, many others who are here, Mel and Mary Gerber, many, just so many I couldn't even mention, Ron and Marguerite Baumgartner, Jay and Susie. I need to remember, mention every single person in the congregation to be true to the way that God moves. But one thing that's clear is that God moves through all of us ordinary people in small ways usually. We're going to talk about a few big things that have happened throughout the world today, but it's the small, little, gentle, everyday things that have eternal consequences that matter the most, I believe. And most of the times, we don't even know they're happening. It's not like we have this lightning bolt moment and say, okay, I know I'm being used by God right now. It's little seeds that are sown in faith, small words, our actions, that someday, when before the throne of God, we will be shown, this is what happened on that day when you spoke that word. This is what happened on that day when you did that little deed that you've even forgotten about, but it had eternal impact. It had that ripple effect where this person came to know Christ in a deeper way, and they then spoke to someone else. This is the extent of your influence in this world because you were faithful to me. Let's pray and ask God's blessing as we look to his word. Lord, we're so thankful that we can gather today as your body of believers and trust in you to know, Lord, you are working. You are doing amazing, wondrous things all around us. So often, Lord, our eyes are clouded. Our vision, Lord, is fuzzy. And we miss those things so often. But we pray, Lord, today, open our eyes, open our ears, our hearts as we look to your word. And we pray, Lord, open our eyes then to see what you're doing all around us, the glorious and wondrous ways that you're working. We welcome you now, Lord, to transform us, change us to be more like you, to make us ready for your calling. Your calling yet today, your calling tomorrow. Lord, in small ways and sometimes in big ways, Lord, we want to be ready to go, to be your people, to do your work, to be your disciples. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So our passage this morning is looking at the story of Gideon, which is in Judges chapter 6. And if you want to follow along, you're welcome to in your Bible. I'm going to be referring to several just key points throughout this passage. So reading from Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 16, it says, "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abrazite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' 'Pardon me, my Lord,' Gideon replied. 'But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian.' The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And the Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." So we have this extraordinary story. The Lord came and appeared to Gideon, and he's hiding in a wine press. Hardly the mark of a mighty warrior of God, really. If he was really that strong man of God, he would have been out in the open like, come on, bring the battle here, I'll fight you. But instead, he was trying to get a little bit of food ready from taking wheat and threshing it inside a wine press that was hidden away so that no one would see him. And yet the Lord says to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now, can you imagine what Gideon's reaction would be like? Dean, what would your reaction be if an angel appeared to you or you're on the combine combining wheat? What would you say? I think you're right. I'm with you on that one. So really, we have an audacious young man who replies kind of sassy. Kind of bit him and saying, "I beg your pardon. Don't you see what I'm doing right now? You say the Lord is with me? Then why am I in this wine press? And why am I in this situation?" He starts actually bringing a list of doubts and complaints to the angel of God. Now, maybe he didn't realize it was the angel of God right at the beginning, but something was going on here. And he says, "Why has all this happened to us? If God is with us, then why are we suffering? Why are we occupied by a foreign army? We can't do anything. Every time we raise our crops, they come and steal them. We're suffering. Why then would you say that God is with us when we're in this turmoil and in this despair?" You know, we can look at many places in the world right now where people are asking the same question, can't we? God, are you with me right now? Why are we seeing bombs flying over our head? Why are we losing loved ones? Why have people died in our family to illnesses? Why have you taken people away before their time? Sometimes we ask these questions. God, why have you allowed this to happen to me? If you're with me, why didn't I get that job? Why didn't I get into that school? Why did that opportunity close? Why are circumstances in life just overwhelming me right now? You know what's interesting here, though, is that God doesn't turn away from Gideon when he starts complaining and asking these questions. He says, you know, where are the miracles? Our ancestors told us about what happened in Egypt and the great things you've done, but we're not seeing these miracles now. We're not seeing any evidence, really, that God is with us. He even goes so far as to say, no, the Lord has abandoned us. He is no longer with us. How often have we been in these situations? We say, the Lord's abandoned me. Sometimes, more often in my life, it's because of my own failures. It's not that I look around and say, okay, I've been done bad. It's like, how could God stay with someone like me? When I look at the mistakes I've made, then the temptation comes to say, has God abandoned me? I've not sought him the way I should. How could God love someone like me? To go further then, how could God work then through someone like me? I think the truth is, we've all been at that place. And it's tempting when, no matter how mature or young or old we are, those moments come when we have those doubts, when those condemning voices that don't bring truth come into our lives and attack who we are and say, who do you think you are? You're just an ordinary person, which is very, very true. You know, there's a story of an old couple traveling in a car. How many of you remember the bucket seats? I like those bucket seats, or no, they're called bench seats, right? We have bucket seats now, the bench seats. It was really nice, young people, when we were dating back then. You want to know why? Because your girlfriend could just scoot over right next to you. You drive down the road with one arm on the steering wheel and one arm around your girl. Well, there's an old couple in this car, and the wife says, why don't we sit close together anymore in the car? And the husband replied and said, I haven't gone anywhere. I haven't moved. You know, that's a good illustration of how it is with us and God. Sometimes we feel far from Him. We feel that God has abandoned us, but God is saying, I have never moved, and I have never, ever abandoned you, and I am here with you now. It says in the book of James, if you draw near to the Lord will draw near to you. How beautiful it is to realize our God is faithful to us, and no matter what kind of doubts or fears we have, He still doesn't move away from us. I just love this, that the angel didn't say, okay, God, sorry, this is wrong. This guy's full of doubts. He's got questions. He didn't have any faith at all. Let's move on to somebody else. Said he just stayed right there. Go ahead. Voice all your complaints, all your doubts, all your fears. I'm still going to stay. I am still with you. And how beautiful it is that, you know what, we can also voice our doubts and fears. And God says, I'm still with you. Just be honest. Let's reason together. There's a verse in Isaiah that says, come, let us reason together. God welcomes us into a conversation where we can be honest, where we can be who we are with our sins and our failures and know that God is still with us. He says to him in verse 14 then, after he's done all these complaints, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? So he'd think, okay, God listened to his doubts and fears. The angel of the Lord listened, didn't pay any attention to them, and says, go in the strength you have. Am I not sending you? You'd think that would be enough, right? Gideon continues with his excuses. He goes on, he says, but listen, my clan is the weakest. So that might be something that we would say is, but kind of like, come on, we're just from a little, I guess, do you still call yourself a fellowship? We used to be Mennonite church. We're just from a little Mennonite church. We're just people from a simple background. You might be saying, I don't have the skills. I don't have the training. You might be saying, I'm the least in my family. Maybe it must be someone else that God is calling. Someone more talented with more gifts. What are the excuses we make about following God and doing His mission? First of all, we need to realize we are all called by God to His mission. And what is that mission? It's to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone in this whole world. First of all, in our local communities, that's what we struggle with most of the time in our churches, but also to participate in the worldwide mission of God. We've all been given this responsibility. You know, in the late 1700s, there's a young man named William Carey who felt like we need to be going out into all the world. He was in England. He's like, you know what? We need to go to India and tell people about Jesus. He proposed that at a meeting. And an older man said to him, young man, sit down. You are an enthusiast. When God pleases to convert the heathen, He'll do it without consulting you or me. Obviously, this man did not know the scripture and know the verses from, for instance, Matthew 28 that says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And hear this word and remember, I am with you always to the ends of the earth. So sometimes we forget that we've been given this worldwide, really, responsibility as a church and as individuals to disciple the nations. Often we just say, hey, why should we pay attention to what's happening in other parts of the world? The need here is very great. Now that's true. The need here is very great. The mission field is here on our doorstep, but let's not forget about what's happening in other parts of the world. Now to illustrate this point, I'd like to ask if this, we'll see how this works. On each section, here's a section, here's a section, and here's a section. Look what row you're on. I'd like to ask you all if you're able, first of all, to stand. This will all help if you're starting to fall asleep by now. Help you to wake up a bit. And wherever you are, I'd like you to count off by threes. This doesn't work if you're the only one, so Sean, I want you to go to that bench there. And if you're just two, then you just say one, two, and you can stop, okay? So count off by three, and remember your number. Ready? Just do it as well as you can. Just start on this side here, and start over here, and we'll start over here. One, two, three. See if this will work. I mean, it's a little difficult in this setting. Is it? Okay, if you're going down your row, so each row, you start off and then count three over like this, okay? Up here, just one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three. Okay, if you're not, just choose a number. Does everybody have a number? Raise your hand. All right, do as best you can. If you didn't get all the way around, just choose a number for yourself, okay? All right, I'd ask everyone who's a number one to sit down. I'd ask everyone who's a number two, sit down. Okay, there should be a third of our congregation standing. I don't know if that's true. You can go to the next slide. A third, you represent those who are standing, the third of our world who has never heard the good news of Jesus. Now, can you believe it? So look around and envision the people living in those parts of the world where the church is not present at all and is still a third of the population of the world. Thank you. You all can sit down. I'd like then to ask you another question, and maybe you could help me. Who first told you about Jesus? I'm sorry, I don't remember your name. Who first told you about Jesus? Your parents. Who else? How about here? A little girl. Who first told you about Jesus? Your parents? Okay. Who else had somebody else? Someone else who told you about Jesus, yes. A good friend. Okay. So for some, it might have been a Sunday school teacher. For most of us, it was our parents. The point is, it was someone who spoke our language, who knew us very well, who knew our culture, and knew what we were like. Let's think about the part of the world where there's no one who is like them, there's no one who nearby, close enough to tell them about Jesus. And yet we had the blessing of being born into a place where there are lots of people, even if we're not in a Christian family, hopefully there are others around us. At some point we're going to hear about Jesus. Other parts of the world, it's very, very different. Let's go to the next slide. Our total world population right now is somewhere around 7,800,000,000. Where are the world's populations concentrated? We can see here we have about 7.6% of the world's population lives here in North America. 17.2% is in Africa. Almost 60% of the world's population is in Asia. That's really astounding. Next slide. Look, where are the most unreached people groups? Okay, here in North America, look at the bottom. It says there's 177 unreached people groups here in North America. Now, I'm not sure exactly how that's defined, but they're also saying there's about 18 million unreached people here in the in North America. That's a very significant number. We don't want to forget that. But when we compare it to what's going on in Asia, for example, in Asia, they estimate that there are 5,613 unreached people groups. These are groups of people where there's no church and where there's no, they've never heard the good news of Jesus. And that represents almost 3 billion people who've never heard the good news of Jesus. To take that even further, I'd like to just talk about the country of India, for example. The population of India is 1.3 billion people. And look at the number of unreached. 1.326 billion people who are unreached with the gospel, and about 2,139 unreached people groups. This helps me just to put things into perspective, as saying, as a worldwide church, where are we putting our resources? Where are we putting our effort? Is there a way that without neglecting our home mission, that we keep doing the mission here, but is there a way for us to participate in the worldwide mission of God? This is what we're focused on as Global Disciples, the ministry that God called me to begin working with almost 2 years ago. Before I went to work with them in it was February of 2020. So if you look back to what that was, it was just before the pandemic really unleashed. They asked me to go over to Kenya to spend 1 week and over to India to learn what things were like on the ground with Global Disciples, to see in person what was going on. I was blown away when I met people there and heard their stories. As Global Disciples, we partner with groups, with churches that are close then to these unreached areas of the world. So we're not very close to these unreached people, but there are churches now, because of the mission efforts of 100 years ago, missionaries that went, for instance, to these places, there are clusters of churches that are nearby. If I would go to them and start spreading the gospel, I'd have to learn their language. I know what this is like. My wife and I went to Hungary in 1994. We spent years learning the language, trying to learn the culture, trying to understand how do we present the gospel in this culture in a way that resonates with them. It took really 5 years before we became what I would say linguistically and culturally proficient enough that people finally started opening to us and to the message that we were bringing in. We saw God moving through us. I still believe it's important to send missionaries, absolutely. My wife Lori's involved with Eastern Mennonite missions, and they're more of a sending agency, and we're still sending people. The calling that we have in Global Disciples, however, is to find Christians that already know the language of the culture of that tribe, or maybe it's a very similar language and culture. They're just going to be a whole lot better than you or me and going to reach a tribe in India or a tribe in Africa. So we work with those churches, and we help them then train and send their own people to reach these people. I met people, for example, in Kenya and then in India who were participating in the mission of God, and they are strategizing together, how can we teach small businesses to our congregations that were very impoverished so that we can then become our own mission movement. I remember I was very impacted by two young men that I sat with at a meal in India and said, so what are you guys getting ready to do? They said, we're getting ready to go to a city, not a town, a city in India that has no church. But right now, we're putting together our business plan. So that one of the programs we teach is small business development. They said, we're putting together a business plan so we can enter that community as a normal part of the community, and our business is going to bring people to us so we can share the gospel of Christ with them. They've been trained in mechanics and trained about how to set up a business in a new place. So get an idea of what this is like. I'd like us to play this video about the hairdresser. Matt, if you could bring this up. This is a woman, I'll come back to that slide. A woman in Uganda who went through the Small Business Development Training Program of Global Disciples and then was taught how to start
in this business. She's been blessed so much. This opportunity to preach the gospel. She works. As she plants the hair, she shares the word of God to the ladies and the many who have gotten saved through this business. 14 people have come to the Lord through this business. They are in the church, and some have been baptized today. And another blessing, I cannot care for myself. The things I can reach to my standard myself through this business, I can support myself. So I thank God for the Small Business Development School. And she thanks God for Pastor Alex, the facilitator, for all that has been done, for all he has done in the training, the teaching. So he said 14 people have known the Lord through the business, and some have been baptized today. Do you know the number of these that are got baptized today from this business?
Five
of them that we baptize were from this business.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
So she's just an example of an ordinary person who's trained but sent to use business as a way of planting a church. So I want to ask us the question then, what is it that transforms an ordinary person into an extraordinary disciple with influence in the kingdom of God? Going back to the story of Gideon, God appeared to Gideon. Later, Gideon said, I saw God himself. I've seen God himself. So this angel that appeared to him, was it Jesus being made flesh at that moment to appear to him? We don't know, but it was a representative of God, and he saw it as God himself. We need that type of encounter with Jesus. Amen? Amen. We can ask for that. And we need that encounter with Jesus over and over. When I was traveling with Global Disciples and seeing this tremendous movement, there's been, every year, there are thousands of churches that are planted. In the last 25 years, it's gone from a humble beginning to working in 62 countries with over 1,200 programs that are taking place, or clusters of churches that we're working with in different parts of the world. And people often ask, what's the key? How does this take root? What's the key to this, your curriculum? We're like, yeah, we don't really have a specific curriculum, but we teach about intimacy with Jesus. And that's really the basis of everything that we do. Saying we need an intimate relationship with Jesus day by day. And when that is nurtured in the community of faith, when we become on fire for Jesus, whether we have training or techniques or anything else, we can't be stopped from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Jesus is our joy, it changes everything. The Lord said to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." God sees you as mighty. Gideon had done nothing to earn the title mighty warrior. But can we receive that for ourselves? To say, if the Lord is with me, then yes, I am a mighty warrior. And then he says, go in the strength you have. Each one of us has been given gifts. We've been given abilities. Each one of us has already been given everything that we need to accomplish the mission of God that's entrusted to us. If we go in faith and as we listen, God delights in using the most unsuspecting people in mighty ways. God usually works through the underdogs. I mean, I got a seminary some years ago, a seminary degree, studied for 4 years. To be quite truthful, I can't see it did me a whole lot of good right now. I'm glad I did it. I think there's a purpose in it. But when I meet people across the world, some who are limited in their literacy, and they're being used by God in mighty ways, I'm just saying, oh man, I just need to go sit at their feet and learn from them, because they're doing something that I've never done. They're being used by God in mighty ways. Let's look at the video about a man named Ebsa. I believe this is in Ethiopia, but a lot of times we don't tell where things are because we're very careful to protect people's identities and what they're doing. But this is a testimony from a man named Ebsa, an ordinary man used by God in extraordinary ways.
Imam misalnya na beri bini laka Yesus ia di nalar biye bayi mami kena ti church falan degenu ia ikut malah tu mafas kedus rasa. Minta nu alu lami mata selu bayi mami kena tu matu dia nak kerja kat Yesus ia di nalar misa bici. In nasu sunti tu lik segain dan mami nafsi mampu seno alici. Bakri sot vitamin ya tasirat taganya li bitumoti magisamat tiga balde. La nafsi bile man bilu senap kerun. Masa aku tu semua bermain sama maskara jamar kumalat. Ini ni Xavier pasi tanah sos sama teman teman maskara war wada purana dihe di negeri ini bagi apa ni? Bagi zalar missionary wada purana bagi saya manusia cinta lu bagi mereka ulat war bagi report di siaran kita mencoba tahu kita nama segini ada tulis seram kita sana bagi kita nama lain. Ini ni tahu dia mereka sudah bosin kan ini saat tak kuar itu. Jadi latar di so lagil di dia pada pada dia tak menatih. Batam lo dah salin ni. Yang Xavier mampasi orang ayah lo. Izone anti missionary orang kami tu nur. Gabriel itu kita salatin. Kita salamir. Asir missionary orang kami jadi ku. Madalah kita cina ni. Mereka mesti sambil cina berwala orang nama kami. Kaza. Inti mak ayat tak galku. Yang nurut cina le. Tapi semua cina jauh. Yang mandi serata nurut. Kaza menjual waktu mereka pun di. Andi bermalah kuda sebelumnya gohalak zahir dan muka di rumah negara bermalah kumangkat agan aja. Jadi lebih sama nata cim malah tena. Indah zano global ini demo yang andi betamna sahuni bau salim tu alamak apa birai nu. Lihat sihat global gasit. Ya iyo tu mendino. Tini lama jam maragi zono betul tau si iyo tu malah.
Na kasta malas kum demo digital inna small business in sultana ka global tak abiyalu. Senang kita berfikir irasim sericia untuk lelaki cumla seraya yang kata kasku raya lainnya.
Kedemikian agar kacu basra kasrat ini sama namis bafit. Ia kebabi buanggil yal tayazi basitan batau tamu itu bicara
ትልቅ ስለነበረ እንዳለ ህዝቡ ማለት ነው።
አሜን። በግሎባል በኩል እውነት አደረገልኝ። በጣም የተነካ ከአስር በላይ ሚሽነሪዎች ተልኳል። ደስ አለኝ። በዛ ላይ ተመሰረቼ ደግሞ እግዚአብሔር አሁን ምንድን ነው የአስር ሚሽነሪ ማላቃቶ ደግሞ አሁን በተወጣ ውስጥ ደግሞ 80 አገልግሎቶች እንድንልክ ሪፖርት ማዘጋጀቼ የአስር ዓመት እቅድ ደግሞ ለማቀድ ጉልበት ሆኖኛል ማለት ነው። እንትኑ ከአቅሜ በላይ ነው። የተጻፈው እቅድ የታቀደው እቅድ ከአቅሜ በላይ ነው እና እኔ እግዚአብሔር ሸክም ሆኖ ሰጠኝ። አንተ እኔ የጠራኝ አንተ እኔ
So I want us to close this morning by asking the question, where am I being sent? Where is that place for me that God has sent? Some of you here, God will put really big dreams in your heart. And I would just say to you, don't be afraid to, that sounds cliche, but don't be afraid to dream those big dreams. But let's remember that the places we're being sent start as soon as we walk out of this door, is while we're grocery shopping, is to our workplaces, is to our schools. And yes, sometimes it's to do something unusual. Recently, very recently, we heard a testimony by video of a woman in Kenya. And God just put on her heart, you're to go to this people, I think they're called the Dobo tribe, completely unreached, and they were out in the jungle. And she just says, I became convinced, I just had to go. So she took one of her goats from her herd and went out into the jungle and found this tribe. She butchered the goat and had a barbecue. And invited everyone to come. And when they came, she shared about Jesus with them. During that barbecue, a group of young men came out of the jungle who were warriors, who'd been trained to fight. They came and they heard the gospel. They surrendered their lives to Jesus. These young men are now being trained to become warriors for Jesus. They saw several churches coming to being in that area. And then she said, you know, and then I noticed there were no schools for the kids. These kids have no hope of getting very far in life unless they have education. So I just said, bring me your children. And I started a school. An ordinary woman responding to the call of God on her life. So let's remember, God's promise is with us. He is with us. He has not abandoned us. And he looks upon each one of us and says, God is with you, mighty warrior. Go. In the strength you have I not sent you? I'd like to invite you all, if you would like to hear some more stories and more specifics about Global Disciples, please come on Friday night. We're having a banquet at the Methodist Church uptown. My brother Dale, who's here, is sponsoring that. They needed a place that was close by where they could bring in the food. And Loganville and Lori Croy are going to be singing with me that night, as well as the Bench Brothers, and just sharing and having a good time of fellowship. So if you'd like to come, just please call and let us know. We'll be glad to have you as our guest that night. Let's pray together. Lord God, we are humbled that you look upon us as your sent ones, and that you're saying, I am with you, mighty warrior. Lord, I pray that you would release the power of your Spirit upon each one of us this morning, upon this congregation, upon young and old. And I pray, Lord, that you would release visions and dreams about your calling. But also, Lord, open those opportunities on a day-to-day basis, those little moments that have eternal significance. Help us to recognize them and go in faith, Lord, to be your witness here in Fortuna, Versailles, in the surrounding area, but also, Lord, as you make it possible to partner to the ends of the earth to make disciples of all nations. Lord, there's nothing too difficult for you. And I thank you, Lord, also, there's nothing that we can mess up so bad that you still can't work through us when we repent and come to you and say, Lord, forgive us for doubting. Forgive us, Lord, for not believing. Forgive us, Lord, when we haven't walked with you. We thank you, Lord, that you have not moved and you are with us. So, Lord, we thank you for blessing, for hope, for new strength, Lord, when we felt very weak. Help us, Lord, to find you in a new way. Appear to us, Lord Jesus, and be very close to us, we pray. We place all of our trust in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So I'd like just to give you this benediction, this blessing to say, go in the strength of the Lord, for he has sent you.